And we have caught Jason Cans, and he's on the line early this morning on August 12th. Good morning.
Good morning. It is my mother and stepfather's 29th anniversary today, so that's kind of a fun thing. So
happy anniversary to them. And they live where in Wisconsin?
Oostburg,
okay.
Which is way over on the eastern side of the state.
Yes. So, yeah. And you've had a couple of chances to go there recently.
Yeah, I think since May, I've been there three times, which is much more than I would normally go prior to COVID. So
okay. It's
been good to get over there and see them and just spend some time.
So, now, how long of a trip is it to Oostburg? How many hours of driving?
Well, if you stop for the bathroom once, it's about 4 hours.
Okay.
So
that's about how far Wauwatosa is, suburban Milwaukee, where my mom is.
Yep.
And not only my mom, but the Wisconsin State Fair, and they've got cream puffs. And so, like, the invite has been there. I haven't been back in a long time. I mean, I went for a funeral last summer, but so the cream puffs are calling. Mom is saying, can you come? But I'm also like, cream puffs, mom, cream puffs.
Yeah.
And then my daughter Grace is actually going down on Sunday, not for cream puffs. It's like, and she's going to stop in Tosa on her way to Chicago with a friend. So anyhow,
I did my residency at Prater, which is in Wauwatosa.
Okay.
And there's a bakery in Wauwatosa called Sima's, which is one of the best bakeries in the United States, as far as I'm concerned.
My niece used to work there.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I know where that is. It's right across from Balestrieri's Pizza. Do you know about that?
Yep. I know exactly where that is, too.
Did you ever have the eggplant there?
I did not.
That's the only place I've ever had eggplant. It's been many years. All right, this is good. We talked about anniversaries on this August 12th. Your mom and stepdad share an anniversary with Matt Tyson from Reliant K. He turns a year older today. So, I don't know when they were a group. But we wanted to talk about Dallas Willard. You got to always have some fun, lighthearted conversation. Then we get into the meat of the program. And something I shared on my Facebook page yesterday where I mentioned to Jason, I said, Jason Cans, maybe this should be our topic. It's Becky Willard Heatley posting off of Dallas Willard is my homeboy. This quote from the late, great Dallas Willard, who said, that Jesus said, you're the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth. And that Willard said, I suggest that you put that on your bathroom mirror where you'll see it every morning. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. That's your calling.
That's a good one. You know, you had shared that, and I said, yeah, I think that's great. You know, the question is, what do we mean by that, right? I mean, that's always the question that we come to. And when I think about light, I think about radiating the love of Christ in the world around us. You know, the light of God's glory as it shines in our relationships, in how we carry ourselves and respond to one another. The question about the salt of the earth, you know, I've heard many different interpretations about that, but I'm curious how you would take that.
Well, what I like is, and I was trying to get the audio of Willard actually saying that, and I started to download it, but it's part of a longer series in terms of kingdom living. And I think that's the important theological thing to embrace. And I guess I would wonder, to what degree is that out there? I mean, we could talk about getting converted, and we're excited that people get saved, but and growing. But the idea is that the kingdom is within you, right? Luke 17, Jesus said the kingdom is within you. And that Mark Hull and all of his work with the 3D coaching around the world, long time with FCA, love that brother, and you've had a chance to meet him, and that idea of the kingdom being lived out, you know, from within us and bringing it to the outside, I think that's what that's about.
Yeah. You know, and Dallas Willard is, you know, known, I think, either he or his protege, John Ortberg, talking about when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he doesn't mean that it's coming soon. He means it's here among you. And, you know, and I think that gets back to this idea that Dallas is or was talking about of, you know, be light, be salt. And, heaven will get here soon enough. Mm-hmm. What does it look like to live as kingdom citizens now?
Right. Right. And I think that's the call. That's the idea. So where Mark Hall, you know, would talk about what does it look like you're living the kingdom out in the world of sports or medicine or in society or in your neighborhood. I mean, that's the idea. And that's where recently, you know, we talked about the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes from your upcoming book, Letters to the Beloved, right? So,
yeah. And you know, I think that's another thing that is we've talked about this book, Living in Christ's Presence. You know, the most solid message Jesus talked about was the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think sometimes we forget that that's kind of was his primary focus as he ministered. So,
absolutely. Great stuff. Yeah. And Living in Christ's Presence, it's you can get it in a book or you can find the audio, Dallas Willard with John Ortberg, and that's great stuff. And then all sorts of Willard stuff as well. All right, Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Very good. Chris Tomlin, God of this City, WWIB. It's a Throwback Thursday on a parking lot picnic. It's just all things alliteration today, Susan.
Good morning. It's, and you know what? It is beautiful outside. The sky is 100 different colors of blue and pink and gold, and there's big fluffy clouds. It's a perfect day. It's like a heavenly sky out there.
It really is. And the temperature got down to the upper 50s, 59 at the airport in Eau Claire, 62 here. It's going to peak out at 80, going to be just right for a picnic. I think we'll probably see Yogi Bear here today.
Well, I was going to say I have an insider tip. If possible, get here a little early if you're coming for dinner and get in that line and get your food quickly. Because don't you think that people really, like around 6 o'clock, the line gets...
I thought you were going to tell me Yogi was actually going to be here.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, I don't like to wait more than 3 minutes for my food. So that's my insider
You're the one with so many voices. Smarter than the average bear, boo-boo.
Anyhow, a little bit of Yogi. You win. I can't do it.
Hey, we got Greg Stewart Sports and Commentary coming up. Another request from Birthday Bob up in Rice Lake. It's not his birthday. It's just he's great about other people's birthdays. And another Chris Tomlin request. And we had another one here this morning as well, where a listener wants a DeGarmo and Keys song.
Wow.
I
remember them.
We're mixing those in. Yeah, I know. I remember them too. Yeah, good. Good. You're going to say that. And you're, I'm old enough to remember them. All right. WIB, it's the WIB Wake Up Show. Good to have you aboard this morning. And 90% of us consume some form of caffeinated substance every day. I mean,
every day?
Yeah. That's what they say. The number of U.S. coffee shops now around 35,600. And if you see the lines at some of these, right?
I mean,
Caribou, Starbucks, I mean, it is sizable. So where are you guys at with this?
I think I would say not coffee, because, again, I'm not a coffee guy. Mm-hmm. Other than, you know, occasionally those coffee beverages, which have so much sugar in them. But, caffeine, I'd say, you know, a few times a month maybe. Because, again, it might be, you know, this or that has caffeine in it. I like Zevia, Pop, things like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I have a cup every morning, waiting at my bedside usually.
And is that from Dr. Phil?
That's from Dr. Phil.
How thoughtful.
That keeps the marriage together some days. It's an expression of love. Yeah, I have to have it. And if I don't have coffee, there is a side effect. I get a headache and the world looks gray. And, like, I feel like I have no purpose. Other than that, I don't need it.
Other than that, no need whatsoever.
I'm like an eclectic social coffee drinker. So I typically have said I like my morning mocha, right? My poor man's mocha, a little hot chocolate with
poor
Swiss Miss, preferably.
Have you sold this recipe to Starbucks or Caribou yet?
I should talk to the Swiss Miss people. But, you know, Swiss Miss, that's my favorite hot chocolate. They just do a great job there in Menominee. And but we ran out this week, so it's been regular coffee. Oh. Even this morning, regular coffee and some creamer.
I can help you.
I like the hazelnut creamer.
My friend, I have a hookup in my office for you.
But yesterday, even as, I don't know, just kind of the buzz, we had, you know, a lot of excitement building to the visit from our friend as well. And
Cade Thompson,
whose name was escaping me. Thank you. And so, I don't know,
coffee
it was just
drinker.
Like once I got going with a little bit of coffee, I just kind of kept it going. So
why stop?
And once you have that kind of undergirding, you understand, like, multiple cups, like, it does carry you.
Yeah.
It does, like, you don't have the weariness.
Riding the crest of the caffeine
until
wave.
Until you crash.
It carries you till 2 a.m., 3 a.m. sometimes.
That's the problem. It cannot be later in the day. And that's why if you have, like, I like a Pepsi or Mountain Dew occasionally. And if you do and you can't sleep, you're caffeine sensitive. So that's when somebody tells you,
put that coffee down.
Yeah.
So a thought that I had yesterday, as most everyone had left the office, and I had noticed that there was some coffee cake left that Sue Stewart had baked.
I had a piece.
Delicious blueberry coffee cake for when Kay Thompson was here. And my manners got the better of me, so I actually had a full piece. Actually, I think I had a piece and a half. Again, no one was here. But I was thinking that if I had been at home and had spied this delicious coffee cake at home, where my manners should be better, but are not always, I would have picked and eaten the streuselly crumble topping from the top.
Yes.
And then I started thinking to myself, I do this a lot. Because there are a lot of different foods where it's not that I dislike the whole food, but there's certain aspects of said food that I like better than the other parts. If you make a cobbler or a crumble,
yes,
I just want the crusty top.
That's right.
Like, I want the top. You can have the peaches and everything in the middle. No offense to peaches, but I want the crumbly good
right.
stuff on the top.
It's a Scandinavian thing.
Am I the only one who does this? Susan said no.
No, muffin tops.
Yes.
I mean, you know, they're delicious. Why would you eat? Like, the bottom is just like a little stand for the muffin top, I think.
And again, one more aspect of this, and there's probably many more as I would think, but the Dunker Donuts from Quick Trip, and I'm not my three-year-old. I will
I
eat
I know
the
what
whole
you
thing,
mean.
But I just kind of gnaw on the
glazy
parts on the outside.
And toss
the
middle.
Part. I don't toss the middle because I eat it because I hate wasting food. But still, like, that's the best part is gnawing on the outside. I used to unroll Little Debbie Swiss cake rolls. I've done a lot of weird
creamy
things.
Creamy filling, toss the Oreo.
I'm at the other end of the spectrum in terms of the crumbs that are left. Like, it's been a delicious pie, and there's just a little bit in there. And this, and so it's like you just want to get those morsels to me. To me, it's like those leftovers, and you're like...
Frosted Mini Wheats, I'm sorry, I'm going to keep thinking of more and more of these, but Frosted Mini Wheats, yeah, they're fine, but you know what I really like?
The frosting.
The stuff at the bottom.
Ah.
All like the little
you
part.
You can crunch up the before you put it, that's what I do. I crunch them up with my hand.
I want all the mini wheats to be gone, and I just want the mini wheats that are way at the bottom, and I dump that
and
in a bowl with a bunch
silt.
Of milk. Yeah, that's all I want.
I love
the
that
silt
too.
At the bottom of the bag.
I don't know.
Please, somebody tell me I'm not the only weirdo.
No,
who likes just
we are the same person.
I want the streusel. I want the crumble.
This has me thinking of weird things with food. Is what I hate is like you're in a restaurant and you're deciding to order, but somebody else left theirs. They've already left. I don't know. This strange set, like they've left food on the table. Now, I haven't taken somebody else's, but I mean, still, you look at it and I'm like, I'll have that lady's pizza that she left, you know?
Is there a discount?
Yeah, exactly. He was so key in the development of contemporary Christian music in the late 70s and the early 80s. We lost him way too young. I don't think he even made it to 30 years old. Keith Green, I still remember the day he died, July 28th, 1982. And there is a documentary on contemporary Christian music, which is set for release this fall, revealing the birth and growth of the music industry that focuses on hope and love and faith. And so Lionsgate just dropped the trailer of the Jesus music. So I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
Yeah. Should be good. And it's got to include Keith Green. I mean, that's the thing.
Of course.
It has to, for sure. Coming up.
A hotel stay that's finger licking good. Hey, it's... I am not sure how much free advertising we've given KFC on this show, but I think it's at least worth a $20 family fill up.
That's right.
KFC is doing something else. Their marketing stunts are just phenomenal. They are now going to open a pop-up hotel in London for 11 nights. Why? 11 herbs and spices. August 18th through the 29th, a pop-up hotel, all proceeds going to the KFC Foundation, which Susan dug into a little bit.
Yes.
And pretty cool what the KFC Foundation actually does.
Well, yeah. So the KFC Foundation was inspired by an act of kindness from Colonel Sanders himself. He picked up a hitchhiker who happened to be a college student. The colonel gave him a ride and a full scholarship. And since then, they have the KFC Foundation has provided $20 million to more than 6,400 students and KFC restaurant employees to assist them in getting an education. I love that.
A pop-up hotel? I'm confused.
So basically, yeah, they're going to open a hotel that's all chicken-themed for just a short amount of time. Now, whether they're actually building something or they're just taking over someone else's hotel
that's
for
what
a
I'm
short
guessing.
Time,
all
I believe
right.
that's what they're doing. But here's some of the
that.
Details. A black Cadillac, which KFC calls the Colonel Mobile, will pick up guests and take them to this pop-up hotel where their own chicken clerk will greet them, the company said. Also, it costs $154 to stay for a night, but there is a press for chicken button where you can get up to $139 of free chicken. Now you say, why $139? Apparently, they have capped this to prevent, quote, overconsumption. Again, this is in London. This is in America. So, you know, you'd think it'd be good. But yeah, they will have access. Guests will have access to a private cinema, a hot wing arcade machine, a chicken concierge service as well. And again, that press for chicken button is what intrigues me.
You guys, the decorating is adorable. There's a neon finger licking good over the TV and House of Harlan pillows. Adorable.
You never know what you're going to hear about on the WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB.
Wait for our WWIB pop-up hotel.
There you go.
Drumsticks are in the details, and as they say, fried chicken will never be far from your thoughts. Or your clothing, probably, after you leave.
Is it been a better slogan than finger licking good? Oh, my. All right, kind of a special moment here on a Throwback Thursday. Parking lot picnic, the last one today, starting in less than 2.5 hours from 11 till 7. And a lot going on, a lot. We had a lot going on last year, but there's even more going on this year with the addition of the Rock and Roll to Go Plus, inflatables, et cetera. And, but we've been saying, asking you to let us know on the listener line, 715-396-1670, what you want to hear. And so Cliff and Spooner chiming in. He's one of our more active texters and referencing our friend Steve Snyder. We miss our brother. Such a fixture on Saturdays and holidays with us here. And so he'd been saying, yeah, I heard you guys playing some Mac Powell Third Day. So what about, you know, some other groups? And it got me thinking as we were talking here a little bit, like Steve was actually, the last time he was on the air with us in the WIB Wake Up Show was in November.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a particular song he wanted to hear. We asked him, you'd come up with the idea, like, hey, he takes so many requests on Saturdays. What if we asked him, Steve, and again, he was struggling with his health some at this point. What did he want to hear?
You know what? I'd love to hear a song by Brian Duncan called Strolling on the Water.
Very good.
Brian Duncan, Strolling on the Water. That's pulling one out of the hat.
It's and just a fun tune.
Fantastic.
Tell us why you want to hear that one.
I like the idea of, I think it refers to those times in the Gospels where Jesus, you know, where the disciples are out on the water and the storm comes up and Jesus, and they freak out and they're all over Jesus and he's just sleeping.
Uh-huh.
And that peace in the midst of the storm that's exemplified by that is just so... So it's just so beautiful. And during this song, as you'll hear in the lyrics, Brian Duncan takes on the character of Peter, and Jesus invites him out to walk on the water. And Brian, in the song, Brian... He just describes that, and it's just such a... carefree experience, and it just reflects how we can lean on Jesus.
Well, you've got that love relationship with the Lord, and it comes through loud and clear. Here's the tune, Steve.
Open up my eyes, I pray, Lord, for just a little glimpse of you. That's all I need. It's all I've ever needed. Beyond myself, beyond this tiny little world, all your hands have made with beauty and strength alone. And I can see you coming to me now. Oh, like a shimmering light on an open sea, barefoot on the water, laughing at the ocean like you were old friends. Every care, strolling on the water. Let me come to you. Let me run to you. My heart's still beating, beating in my throat. My sweaty palms and a mouth so dry. Shaking till I can't stand still. All I'm asking is let me cross that great divide between you and I. Only you can take me there. So take me there, yeah. Strolling on the water, high over every care. Strolling on the water, sinking no longer. Let me ride.
Got some heartwarming news about a modern-day miracle that happened. The world's smallest baby ever recorded finally goes home after a year in the hospital. The smallest baby the world has ever known defied fate, and after spending a year at Singapore's National University Hospital, has finally gone home to her family. Okay, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, so forgive me. Little Kwek Yu Wan was born via emergency C-section. She weighed 7.5 ounces, about as much as a softball. And despite her fragile entrance into Earth, the hospital announced she has been discharged at 13.9 pounds.
There you go.
That little stinker.
Way to gain the weight, put on the pounds. Love
yeah,
it.
She's still underweight for a 14-month-old, but she's come a long way. Considering the average birth of a baby, birth weight is 7.5 pounds.
And she was 7.5 ounces.
I think the Lord was in that for sure. We're just rejoicing anytime life triumphs. We're so thankful.
Modern medical miracle, right? I mean, it's amazing. That's just indescribable.
Praise the Lord, she's going home.
Yeah.
That's for sure.